In Scripture alone. I don't yield upon my own intellect, which wouldn't be much. I don't trust really fully any other man, but I do trust the Word of God. Amen. And I believe that the Word of God has for us in it the truths for life, for godliness, for everything. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. So we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 20. We're going to look at all 18 verses of Genesis chapter 20. The title for this morning's sermon, in case you want to write it down, although it is on the worship guide, is Abraham's Faithlessness, God's Faithfulness. Abraham's Faithlessness, God's Faithfulness. I believe we're going to see something a little sad today, and it is unfortunate, but thank God for it, because it is a reminder of exactly our condition, even as believers. And so the theme that I want to give you before we read the text is this. Our faithlessness as believers, and it's important, every word is important here. Our faithlessness as believers cannot override the faithfulness of our God. Our faithlessness as believers cannot, or might, you might even say it, will not override the faithfulness of our God. Praise be to God for that. And so in light of that, as we read the text, I want you to consider these two main points that are going to rise up as we read and study this really incredible story that we're given in this section. Remember, we haven't arrived at chapter 21. Isaac is coming. The promise is going to be fulfilled there. Two things. Number one, we sin against God when we are faithless. We sin against a holy God when we are faithless. Brothers and sisters, this is an important point. Because we've all had moments of faithlessness. Call it doubt. Call it a lack of trust. But whatever it is, we must see it for what it really is. It is sin. We sin against God when we are faithless. That's number one. Number two, the second thing that is going to rise up as we navigate our way through this text is this. We sin against others when we are faithless. We sin against others when we are faithless. Now look with me at the word of the Lord, beginning of verse 1, Genesis chapter 20. This is the reading of the Holy Word of God. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. And he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Verse 3, but God, I love when the scriptures give us all, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? And did he not himself say to me, she is my sister, and she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Verse 6, then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart. And it was I, don't miss that, brothers and sisters, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet. So that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. And so Abimelech rose early in the morning and called his servants and told them all these things. And the men were very much afraid. And then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you see that you did this thing?" And Abraham said, "I did it because I thought there is no fear of God at all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, 'This is the kindness you must do to me. At every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother.'" Verse 14, "Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, 'Behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you.' And to Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you, and before everyone you are vindicated.'" Then Abraham prayed to God. Interestingly, isn't it? Verse 17, "Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife." Wow. All right. What do we make of this? Brothers and sisters, would you pray with me? Oh, gracious Lord, how incredible it is that you would have mercy on us to inform us this way through the holy reading and study of your word. God, teach us today what we cannot know without it, and help us to respond the way that you've called us to respond. Help us to do with this, Father, what you want us to do and to live it out, that you may be glorified and that our sin might be atoned for, that we might see our sin for what it is. And God, thank you for not letting us off the hook, for confronting us with this and loving us through it and restoring us in spite of it. To you be all the honor and all the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our faithlessness, brothers and sisters, our faithlessness cannot override the faithfulness of our God. Amen? Amen. But here we see a faithful brother. Abraham is counted righteous because of his faith, right? Certainly he would have learned his lesson. It is as if we are reading chapter 12 again. Remember when he was in Egypt and all of a sudden he approached the Pharaoh and the same thing happened. You would have thought he would have learned his lesson, but how many of us, be honest with me this morning, how many of us, we've done the same thing twice? Maybe more. It just reveals to us the sad reality that on this side of eternity, brothers and sisters, as much as you and I don't want to believe this, we are still battling and fighting sin. We still think in ways we shouldn't. We do things we shouldn't. We say things we shouldn't. And then we show up at church and we praise God like we didn't. But Abraham was reminded once again that it is not his own faith. It is not his own character. It is not his own integrity. It is the faith of God that has been given to him and has enabled him to be the chosen man of God. But brothers and sisters, we see a sad tale here. Because you have to understand, the Bible does not, and we have to always be careful with this. There's a lot of people that take the word of God and they impose, it's called eisegesis, they impose their ideas on the scripture, they try to make it fit their own ideology. That is wrong. That is going to lead and has led multitudes astray. But what we see here is that we are not given why, it is not explained to us why Abraham left where he left to go and sojourn in this area. We understand now why he left the Ur of Chaldeans and how God chose him and took him out. Much like he has saved you and taken you out of the world, you are now no longer of the world. You may be in the world, but as a believer, you're not of the world. So he is a man who is sojourning now. He is now in exile. Remember when we studied in 1 Peter, and Peter gave us the language of exiles. We are exiles in a foreign land. And especially if you haven't noticed, in our culture today, anything that we say as it pertains to godliness or the scriptures, I mean, it almost incites anger in culture. We are exiles. We are foreigners. The first martyr in all of scripture, Stephen, opened his mouth and shared the gospel. He didn't say anything hateful, and yet they hated him and stoned him to death. But here the man of faith, fear strikes a man of faith. And it's the pride that is at issue here. Remember, this happened in Genesis chapter 12. Look at when he was about to enter Egypt, he said, this is in 12 verses 11 to 13. It's on your worship guide. He said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a beautiful woman in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. It's unbelievably how much we can think of ourselves at times. Brothers and sisters, we're no different. We are typically, rightly so, it's not as if Abraham is always this faithless. No, he trusts God. Remember when he parted ways with Lot, he trusted God. He said, Lot, you can pick whatever you want. I trust God to provide for me. So most of his life, Abraham would trust God and live by faith, but he would be reminded, just like we're seeing right here, that he still had a problem with sin, that he still had that natural tendency to think about what it means to preserve your life. But this is how it is in our sin, in our nature. We, like Sarah, come up with our own solution. Remember that? And here, Abraham's doing the same thing. And this is something that he figured had to be done. He had to come up with this scheme. Now, let's call it what it is. And we've all done it if we are honest. There are times when we have schemed because we are afraid or we're fearful. And so we jockey for position, or we try to influence whether our spouse or our family member or a friend, and we try, or our kids even, and we try to influence them in a certain way because we have taken it upon ourselves to be so afraid that now we must jump in and intervene and scheme so that we can receive a certain outcome that we want to achieve. This is what's happening right here. It is a lesson for all of us. It is a lesson for me. To realize that I can, in my own sin, begin to scheme and plot so that I can achieve the end that I want, that I desire. And so here you see Abraham doing the same things. The other thing that we can see here is not only scheming, it is a form of manipulation. Manipulating Sarah to go along with this. So that this plan that he's hatched up, that he's become familiar. Now, we have to understand what is happening here. Abraham, in his sin, is relapsing to what he knows to do. And this is a problem for many of us. We get some steam and we move forward in faith, but then something comes along, maybe some circumstance or some issue of life, unexpected turn of events, like what happened to us recently, and it can cause us to fear and distress and maybe to try and come up and hatch our own scheme. Thank God for the sovereignty of God and the grace of God in spite of that. And that's what we're seeing here. We are not seeing that God's plan was thwarted as soon as Abraham began his plot and his scheme and his manipulative tactics here again. God is so kind. That's all I can think about. God is so merciful. He doesn't just obliterate Abraham, and he understands. He knows why Abraham's doing what he's doing. God knows why you and I do what we do. He knows when we sin. We nobody else may know it, but he knows it. That's why I love that song we just sang, In Thought, Word, and Deed. We have failed you. Brothers and sisters, I know we don't like to hear this about our heroes of the faith, but they too fall and commit grievous sin. That is why our faith is not in man. We don't put our faith in heroes. We put our faith in God, who alone is perfect and holy and wise and sovereign. We sin against God when we begin out of fear, out of frustration, to hatch these schemes. We sin against God because we are acting in faithlessness, not in faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, we have been called to be a faithful people. How many of y'all knew that? As believers, you and I have been called to be faithful. Faithful in your marriage, faithful in your job, faithful in your family, faithful, more importantly, to the Word of God, faithful to God Himself. You are called, I am called, to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And that calling is pure, it's real, it's given to us in Scripture, but there are times when we fail and we are not faithless. For some of us, we have committed the egregious sin to be faithless in our marriage, and what that has done, it has brought about consequences that we carry with us for the rest of our lives. And yet God is good and kind to forgive us our sin. Right? But this is why when we see something like this, it must remind us of what it means to actually live in faithfulness and to ask God to forgive you for your faithlessness, because it is you who are faithless. It is not God. God hasn't done anything. He has provided. He has given us everything that we need for godliness. We can live in faithfulness. This is incredible, because what you see here is how sin transcends even the generation. Remember Isaac doing the same thing in Genesis 26? Look at that with me in Genesis 26, verses 6 and 7. So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Wow, where did he get that from? It is amazing what our sins teach our children. Why? Because Isaac feared to say, "My wife," thinking, "lest these men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance." Wow. That's the whole reason. You know why? Because we know that people need Jesus. We know that there is something called the depravity of the human heart. We know that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be acting this way. Abraham wouldn't have been afraid. Isaac wouldn't have been afraid. You and I wouldn't be afraid today. But we know what's out there. We know that that's what's going on. It's really amazing. But we also have to be very concerned about what's in here. Amen? But I love that. Now, what I love about this whole narrative here, as we see Abraham coming to Gerar and having this interaction with Abimelech, that it would take the intervention, the sovereign intervention of God to speak to Abimelech, a pagan king. So it's a little bit of an eye-opener there to see that God would move on the heart of a pagan king in this way and cause him to fear him. Here Abraham said, there's no fear of God in this place. That's his reasoning. That's his lame excuse, right? His really, but now these pagans have more fear. They're afraid. And yet nothing is going to, number one, thwart God's plan. Because this could have been, you know, but God would not allow his plan to be thwarted no matter what. So you could see, if you think carefully and look ahead, that this could have been really bad for the promised line, right? But nothing thwarts the plan of God. And in spite of Abraham's faithlessness in this moment, in spite of Abraham's sin that he's committing right here as we're reading, God still covers him and protects him and will not allow anything to come to harm him. That's awesome. This is the first time in Scripture that the word prophet is used for a man of God. The first time. And prophets had a very specific purpose biblically. But I love this. In Psalm 105, verse 14 and 15, we see these. He allowed, that's psalmist speaking of the Lord. He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, "Touch not my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm." So that's the good news in all of this story. The bad news is, we sin when we are faithless. Brothers and sisters, the fact that I doubt, the fact that I just, you know, create these, you know, manipulative schemes and try to, you know, do this, whether it's in my marriage or with my family, more than likely, or another, maybe at work. No, that's not sin. That's just, you know, just having a bad day. maybe I'm just making a couple of mistakes here. We don't like to really embrace the fact that that is a sin against God. But here's how we know that faith, because some of us say, well, is faithlessness a sin? I would say, yes, it is. When we are faithless, we sin against God. When we are faithless, we sin against others. Faithlessness is sin. Paul gave us as much in his magnum opus in Romans, chapter 14, verse 23. He said, but whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. I love that God is faithful in all of these things. Proverbs 16:6, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. It is God's faithfulness. And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Amen. First practical thing, as you can see in Scripture, as we contemplate what these points mean for us. Yes, we see the reality of this. We see this occurring here with Abraham, the first real prophet of the Bible, if you say, or at least designated prophet, according to the words that were given in Scripture, is that we are given a call to turn away from evil. Turn away. If you find yourself like Abraham in a moment of weakness, sinning against God by being faithless, by not trusting God, because faithlessness means that you have taken it upon yourself to try and make things right or go a certain way. Faithfulness, on the other hand, means we have surrendered in prayer and left at the altar everything that concerns us, and we are trusting God for everything. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness means we actually trust God and believe Him to be the sovereign God of all the universe, who is in control of every detail. You've ever heard the saying that the devil's in the details? He is. But so is our sovereign God, even more so. So we see that even in the little things of life that can turn into big things, like in chapter 20, because when you're being confronted this way, and Abraham having to embarrassingly receive these words, I mean, you have to understand, when have you as a believer heard or felt and know without a doubt that you've done things you should not have done? That's what we see in the Scripture. It's unbelievable when he comes and talks to him and really responds to Abraham in this way. So here's what it says. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, verse 9, what have you done to us? Notice this is a pagan speaking to a faithful man of God who has sinned in his faithlessness right now. He says, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? A great sin in that time was always usually referred to adultery. You have done to me things that ought not to be done. Brothers and sisters, let's let the weight of that interaction fall on us. When have we done things that ought not to be done? And Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you see? I don't want you to miss this in verse 10. What did you see that you did these things? Have you ever thought about that? That we would... Because many of us, if we were honest, that in our humanity, we go by sight much of the time. We respond to what we see. Abraham saw, and in his mind, and his eyes told him, there's danger here, things can really go bad, so I have to do this. He saw, rather than relied on what he had heard. Sinclair Ferguson, a great expositor of the truths of the Word of God, speaking on this particular text, was saying that Abraham did what all of us do, and it's wrong. We thought through our eyes. We thought through our eyes rather than through our ears. So we are prone to wander and do things because of what we see rather than close our eyes in prayer and remember what we've heard from the Word of God and trust what God has said. God has said to us that we can trust Him. God had proved Himself time and time again, as he will with Abraham, that he can be trusted. Now, let me ask you a question. Can God be trusted? Second question. Do you really trust God? Or are you like Abraham, are you prone to trust God, but, or the situation takes a turn and all of a sudden your own instincts kick in? Obviously his instincts kicked in, right? Because he had done this before. And you want to take matters into your own hands. Brothers and sisters, there are times when we must see with eyes of faith. We are called to live by faith, not by sight. Amen? But praise God for his steadfast love. James 5:16 gives us a great passage in the New Testament to respond to this kind of thing. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Remember, Abraham's going to be brought to pray for Abimelech even after he sinned this way, because he's the appointed prophet. Not because he's perfect, but because God is holy. And because God's plan is not going to be thwarted. And he says, I'm going to correct Abraham. And Abraham's going to pray for you, and then a miracle is going to happen. But notice this, that outside of all of the characters, God is not allowing that anything would interfere with his plan for Isaac to be born. Remember, he's going to be born within a year. It's very conceivable that during this time, as what we're reading in chapter 20, Sarah's already pregnant. That's a strong possibility. Now, I don't know that for exact sure, but that is a because Isaac is coming quickly here. But we can see that all along, God closes and opens wombs. Amen? It is God who causes you not to do something. And this is why God came to Abimelech in the dream. He says, it is I who didn't, because for all practical purposes, he would have done that. But God's power is greater. God's plan is greater. God's sovereign work is awesome. And he even stops us from committing travesties. What a grace of God. The kindness of God to really keep us from doing some of the things. How many of y'all have ever stopped to think about praying this simple prayer? God, thank you for keeping me from doing things that I would have done had you not kept me from them. Have you ever thought about that? That there are things, if you looked over the course of your life, you might have actually gone through with that. You might have done that. But God in his great mercy restrained you. His restraining grace kept you from committing that egregious sin. That is to be, we should thank God with everything for things like that. But here Abimelech is confronting Abraham, here a pagan king. He said, what did you see that you did this? And Abraham said, I did it. Look at this lame excuse he gives. I thought, there is no fear of God at all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she's indeed my sister. How many of us do that? We try to rationalize. I don't know what your mother taught you, but my mother taught me that a half-truth is a whole lie. I think that's what we see here. I mean, but I guess we have to grab at straws, right? To try and figure, you know, try and make this look, you know, better than it is. So he gives this lame excuse. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, as Abraham speaking already, I said to her, this is the kindness you must do to me. Remember, what is he doing? What do we do in our pride? We think of ourselves. When you think about something that God is trying to do or wanting to do in your life, if you're going to what you want and what you think ought to happen, that is a red flag, and it should draw you to the altar to pray, and God, forgive me, help me not to make this about me. Abraham here is teaching us that that's what we typically do. We make these things about us. He was concerned about his own life. If you love me, I need you to do this for me. Look at the scheming and the manipulation. And then he says, this is the kindness you must, at every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother, because he is sojourning. Much like we are sojourners in this world. But then here's the response. Then Abimelech did what he did, again, out of really the fear of God that was given to him at this moment, took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham. So here he is making right, restitution. He can't atone for the sin, but he can show that he can show his character and integrity. Like he can say out of the integrity of my heart, but this is going to be the evidence of that. You follow me? It's not what atones the sin. But this is, and how God, in spite of Abraham's sin, God still said, I promise to provide, you will never be in lack. And he just keeps giving. But that's because God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so this pagan king gives. And then he even says, he says, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. To Sarah, he said, again, this is because of the specific issue of what happened here, that, remember, Abraham plotted. And he said, behold, I have given your brother, because that's what y'all tell me. So that's the way I'm going to state it. Behold, I've given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. That's more of a weight kind of thing, a semblance of just, it's almost kind of the bride price, if you will, or it's just here. This is all real. This is all pure. Nothing happened. Remember, it didn't happen because God did not allow it to happen. This is awesome. So he said, it is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you, and before every one of you, before everyone, you are vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God. In verse 17, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today, because something like this can discourage us. But I want to encourage you. This is a good thing for you to see. I thought about this a lot, and for myself, because I struggled with it for a while initially when I understood, you know, what the Bible actually teaches about my sin, about sin and my sin. Because I never really wanted to fully appreciate, oh, that I am a sinner. I would kind of think it and say, I know I'm not perfect. I know that I don't always make the right decisions. But when the Lord really lovingly just brought me to that place and he said, no, you need to see your sin for what it really is. Because if you don't see your sin for what it really is, you will not be able to fully appreciate my grace and the mercy and the benevolence and the kindness that leads you to repentance. You won't appreciate it if you don't see it as sin. You'll actually appreciate what you're doing, seeing yourself as some great person. Seeing yourself as, look at me, I'm a strong Christian. I'm a strong believer. I love the Lord. And all those things may be true, but it doesn't mean that you are without sin. It doesn't mean that sin is not waging inside of you. You are brought to think things all week long that you would rather not think. Can I get a witness? Or do we all have pure thoughts every day of every week? No. When you say something that you shouldn't say to your spouse, you call that not a sin? That's just a little, that just kind of got away from me. When you do something wrong at work that isn't right, you just call that what? Just, brothers and sisters, for us, for the believer, it's sin. And the reason we shouldn't rest with it is because we are believers. See, pagan people it's not sin to them, it's their way of life. It doesn't affect them in any way, shape, or form. They're fully comfortable living in that place. But we have been saved from that. So we are no longer comfortable in our sin. Amen? But yet God in his great mercy leads his prophet, leads his chosen person here, Abraham, whom he promised to do a work, and God is fulfilling his end of the bargain completely. God is going to do what he's going to do in Abraham's life, and he brings him to do what he's called him to do, pray for others. And it's good because it takes Abraham off of thinking about his own life, thinking about himself. Now he is brought to the place where we should all be brought to as brothers and sisters. Think about other people. Pray for other people. They have needs. And our pride and our selfishness only gets us in trouble. Amen? But God in his great mercy calls us to pray. And that's what Abraham did. Then Abraham prayed to God. And that, remember when Abraham interceded for Lot and his family? Now Abraham is interceding for this pagan king, Abimelech, who Abimelech, by the way, is probably not a name. It's more likely a title, because in chapter 26, you see another Abimelech. It's probably the offspring of this particular Abimelech. So it was more maybe a title for that king, because the name itself means my father is king, something like that in Hebrew. So that's probably what we're seeing. So when that name comes up again, when we get there, it'll remind you of this particular instance here. So then, after that intercessory prayer with God, God then healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children, for the Lord had closed. Who closed? The Lord. All the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Wow, what a powerful Lord. And in Proverbs 14:12, let me just read you these scriptures. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Proverbs 14:12. There's always going to be a way that seems right to us. In Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Brothers and sisters, we must fear the Lord. Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Amen. This is what we're doing this morning, hearing the word of Christ. And remember, if we think through our eyes, we are prone to wander. We are prone to sin. But 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, the last part, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Let me give you a few passages from that great, great book towards the end of the New Testament there, the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. And I think a few scriptures that I want to share from there will help us kind of put all this together as it relates to the gospel and the power of the gospel for those of us who are still struggling, still fighting our sin, and want to honestly glorify God in all that we do, but realize our struggle. Let me encourage you with these words from the writer of Hebrews. In Hebrews 1:1-4, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. See, remember, Abraham being designated a prophet here. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we put a lot more weight into what so-called prophets are saying than what Jesus says. But here we see, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. By his Son. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1-3. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Look at those words. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, and I think Abraham received a just retribution here, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. Hebrews 3:5-6. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house. If indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Amen. And lastly, Hebrews 10:23-25. Hebrews 10:23. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to receive this as a word of exhortation. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Praise be to God. Brothers and sisters, we sin against God when we are faithless. We sin against others when we are faithless. If you have found yourself faithless or in a moment of faithlessness, I call you to repent and turn to the one who is always and will always be faithful. Our God is faithful. Remember this, our faithlessness as believers cannot override the faithfulness of our God. Amen? Let us stand.